Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Inspires us all to be better people. Just really just, you know, listening to a speech could make you aspire to be a better person. And there are very few that are like that that have ever been given in the history of the world, and that absolutely is one of them. And, you know, I think if we all take a step back and we look at that 50-year span of time, so much has happened in that 50-year span of time, and so much change. And for the most of it, most of that change is very positive. It's very positive, not just for Black Americans and other minorities. It's positive for white Americans, too. It's positive for all of us because, again, it takes our country to a better place. Those were ugly days in the 60s when Martin Luther King was fighting for equality for everyone, and he was just fighting for the normal everyday rights that all of us, Black and white, today enjoy, and a whole lot of times that we take for granted. And they, like I said, those were some very ugly times, and you had to, especially if you lived in the South, you know, you had everything was segregated. You had whites only and colored only, and you know, it was just not a very happy time in America for a lot of Americans. And to think of the change that we have gone through in that 50-year span of time to where we are right now today. We all enjoy, I think, a level of dignity and a level of equality in this country, all of us, regardless of who you are, regardless of what color you are. I think that right now today, that if you live in America, if you are a citizen, a legal citizen, a citizen of the United States of America, no matter what your color, no matter what your background, no matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a man or a woman, no matter who you are, if you are willing to work your butt off and to put everything you have into your dreams and into what you want to do, there is nothing, I don't care who you are, there is nothing that you can't accomplish in this country. And a lot of that success and a lot of what we celebrate in all of that, just regular everyday living for all people, comes at the expense that Dr. King gave. And, you know, on the other side of this coin, though, while we celebrate all of that progress and we celebrate all of that equality, you know, what would a day of that is essentially about Dr. Martin Luther King, what would that day be without the usual race industry CEOs, I like to call them, because they have turned it into an industry, and they pretty much are the head of it. They are the face, and we all know who I'm talking about. We're talking about Jesse Jackson. We're talking about Al Sharpton. I am reluctant to call either one of them reverend, because I don't think that there is anything reverend about either one of them. If either one of them, and I saw this, someone had posted on Twitter the other day, and I wholeheartedly agree with this, and I can't believe that there's not a lot of people that don't agree with this. If you are really and truly a reverend, if they were really and truly the men of God that they claim to be, would they really perpetuate the level of hatred and the level of vitriol and the level of rhetoric that they have both made careers out of doing on every single day, and that career has both made them very wealthy men? If they are the men of God that they claim to be, none of that would be happening. None of it would be going on. And ironically enough, during this celebration, there were no Republicans, there were no conservatives that got up and spoke. And a lot of people got kind of pissed off about that. I did too. And then I heard an argument from someone that said, you know what, that's probably a good thing that no Republicans, and to my knowledge, they were not invited. You know, happy Martin Luther King Day. They were not invited. And even if had they got up to speak, let's think for a moment. If someone like Senator Tim Scott, who, by the way, is the only African-American senator in the United States Senate from South Carolina, someone even went as far as to say, well, he doesn't really count because he was appointed, he wasn't elected. Really? Really? You know, but not just him, but let's say Jane Borelli, if she would have gotten up to speak. Let's say, any other black conservative that you can think of, had any one of these people, David Webb, a Sirius satellite radio host, if any one of these people would have gotten up to speak and talk about what they believe, they would have been heckled. People would have yelled at them, they would have thrown things, and it would have been a nightmare. And ironically enough, it would have been the very thing that they were describing that Dr. King was fighting against. And so this person on Twitter argued the point that maybe it was a good idea that they did not speak, because that's exactly the thing that would have happened, is that no one would have listened to what they had to say. But like I said, of course, all of the normal race pimps and race hustlers were there to get the crowd all revved up and to get them all in that victimhood mode and that victimhood mentality and that victimhood frame of mind. And there was a quote also I heard from Jesse Jackson this week, where he compared the Tea Party to Confederates. Well, now, Jesse, that's kind of interesting, because here's the thing. Confederates were all Democrats. So that kind of doesn't, that argument's not working out for you. But, you know, I think it's, and a lot of people have reflected on this week, that, you know, this gathering that was gathered there on the Mall to celebrate the life of Dr. King and to celebrate his work, what would they have thought about all of these people who were, excuse me, all of these people who were complaining and that no progress had been made, or that not enough progress had been made, or that blacks continue to suffer violence the way they did back in 1963. I don't know, but I think that someone who had the life and the work that he did, I don't think that he would be very happy. I don't think that that Dr. King's goal was to keep black people in a mentality of victimhood, in a mentality of constantly being stepped on and held down, when that is just not the case. And it really is kind of a shame that we had to see Jesse and Al take over this celebration of equality and freedom and liberty, and basically turn it into a big grievance session. And it's kind of an insult to Dr. King and what he stood for that they would do that. But, you know, I think that if we take a good hard look at it, that it was to be expected. They would not have handled it any other way. And when people hear the names Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, they don't think of anything else but grievance and making people into victims and keeping them in a victimhood mentality. So I think that anytime those two show up, the gruesome twosome, that people expect it. They just, when they see them, they know what to expect. And, you know, it's really kind of sad, because it just goes against everything that Dr. King stood for. So there was that. We also have a very serious situation going on in Syria now. The opinions are varied on what people think that President Obama is going to do about this chemical weapons attack on the Syrian people. The Obama administration does believe without a doubt that the Syrian government and President Assad is responsible for this attack. So far, there's been about 1,500 people killed in this chemical weapons attack. I believe that assumption is that there was sarin gas, which is a nerve agent, used on all of these people, which is horrendous, and it's a serious human rights violation and a serious human rights problem. But I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Rick Perry was here in St. Louis last night, and we will talk a little bit about his job speech and the fact that he is not trying to steal jobs from Missouri. So I'll be right back. I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Glad you guys could be here tonight. Hang on. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron. Bewitching Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. It is Friday night, therefore it is Conservative Cauldron Radio, because it's Friday night, where else would you rather be? So I'm glad everybody could come and hang out with me. We've been talking about the Martin Luther King celebration that, of course, the race pimps and the race hustlers, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, very predictably hijacked, and we knew that was coming, and I think, you know, you just have to kind of overlook those two and really think about what the day meant and really think about the life and work of Dr. King and just kind of overlook the gruesome twosome because they're trying so very hard to be relevant and, you know, let's hope it doesn't work out for them. But also, we have a very serious situation going on in the Middle East right now. The Middle East is just, it's a nightmare. It's a train wreck. And I think we've got Obama to thank for that because he is so incompetent and so inept at anything foreign policy that, you know, this is what you get when you elect a community organizer. And apparently he's not doing a lot of organizing in the Middle East. We know that on the 21st of August, there was a chemical weapons attack in Syria. About 1,400 people were killed, maybe 1,500. And it's pretty much assumed at this point that the Bashar al-Assad regime is responsible for this attack. And, you know, it's a very, like I said, it's a very serious human rights violation, and it's a very serious incident when you gash your own people, 1,500 of them. And so I believe that not just us, but the rest of the world, that we do need to send some sort of message that this will not be tolerated. But the problem is that about a year ago, President Obama made his silly red line in the sand comment, and so far there's been nothing to back it up, and I think the rest of the world knows what a paper tiger that Barack Obama is, and especially ask Vladimir Putin. He knows exactly who and what Barack Obama is, and he knows that he can do whatever he wants and there's no consequences. So if Vladimir Putin knows this, we certainly know that every other dictator and every other tin pot despot in the world knows that they can do whatever they want and there's not going to be any consequences. And there's really a lot of speculation right now that, if any military action, if any, will be taken, and if so, will the president go to Congress and really, for the most part, get an approval, but also, you know, seek their counsel and, you know, If they are against this and they vote not to do this, is he just going to go over their head? And I think sadly that we know the answer to that. And you know, it kind of takes us back to let's all remember Iraq for a minute, and all of the hubbub and all of the panty twisting that the left did about George Bush getting congressional approval and getting the congressional go ahead for these military operations. Oh, he had to go to Congress. Oh, he had to do this, and oh, he had to do this. And if he doesn't do this, he's the most horrible person on the planet, and he's this big, huge cowboy. Well, you know, then-Senator Joe Biden, well, you know, here's the thing, Joe. When things show up on YouTube, it's forever. And I don't think that Joe maybe would have the same opinion of his president that he did here back in 2007 when we were talking about George Bush in Iraq.
The United States had launched an attack on Iran without congressional approval. That would have been an impeachable offense. Do you want to review
Absolutely.
That comment you made? Well, how do you stand on that now?
Yes,
do you think
I do. I want to stand by that comment I made. The reason I made the comment was as a warning. The reason I don't say those things lightly, Chris. You've known me for a long time. I was chairman of the Judiciary Committee for 17 years, or its ranking member. I teach separation of powers and constitutional law. This is something I know. So I got together and brought a group of constitutional scholars together to write a piece that I'm going to deliver to the whole United States Senate, pointing out the president has no constitutional authority to take this nation to war against a country of 70 million people unless we're attacked or unless there is proof that we are about to be attacked. And if he does, I would move to impeach him. The House obviously has to do that, but I would lead an effort to impeach him. The reason for my doing that, I don't say it lightly.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Let's make sure that we're all on the same page. We'll make sure that everything is kosher here and we all understand each other. So if George Bush did not go to Congress and get congressional approval for military action in Iraq, Uncle Joe is all ready to get the impeachment ball rolling. But Barack Obama can bypass Congress on any given occasion, and especially if something serious as a military strike and a military action, and if he does not seek congressional approval, if he does not go to Congress and explain why that the United States needs to go into some sort of military action with Syria, if he does not explain what national security is at stake here, what exactly, based on national security, is going to be compromised here if we do not, or what other, if it's not national security, or even if it is national security, plus some other American interests that are threatened here, that are at stake here. If Barack Obama does not go to Congress and explain all these things, well, that's just okay. It's very serious, and he doesn't have the time to go to Congress, and we'll just leave it alone for now, and you know, we'll just talk about it with him later, after he lobs a few missiles. And oh, but before he does lob those missiles, let's see, he's going to tell them that there's only going to be a few missiles. It's not going to be a big, hairy, involved thing. There's only going to be a few missiles. And here's where we're going to lob them at. If you're in this province or if you're in that province, if you're standing over here, here's where we're going to lob the missiles. And at this point, why doesn't he just look at his watch and say, and oh, by the way, here's what time we're going to lob them at you. I mean, that's about the only thing at this point that is missing. Well, the other thing that is missing, too, is also allies. And right now, as we all sit here and speak tonight, the British have voted this down. They are not going to be involved. They may be cheerleaders. They may, you know, get out their pom-poms and say, go, Barack, go. But they are not doing any kind of military intervention. They are not going to assist us anyway. The Canadians, I know, have decided also not to provide any military assistance. The French, at one point, were talking about it, but as of right now, I don't think that they kind of backed off of it a little bit too. And they are, if they do anything, it's not going to be a whole lot. So basically, we're going on into this all alone, and we're just going to just barge in there and do what needs to be done, apparently. So let me get this straight. We're going to barge in and do what needs to be done, but George Bush was a cowboy. Okay. I'm glad we cleared that up. Glad we got that all, you know, all straightened out. So we will definitely keep an eye on that situation, because it is very fluid and it's changing very quickly. last night, actually. Texas Governor Rick Perry was here to talk about jobs and talk about competition among states, because not only does it make those states stronger, it makes those state economies stronger, but it also makes the country stronger. And, well, our own Governor Jay Nixon, well, he didn't like that too much because, well, actually, Rick Perry makes him look like an amateur when he's here. So he doesn't like, he says he wants Rick Perry to come here and spend his money, but he doesn't want Rick Perry to come here and do anything else like, oh, talk about jobs and job creation and that kind of thing. But it was a big hit here. There was a big turnout, a big crowd for Governor Perry. And he talked about the veto session that is coming up in the Missouri legislature here, and the legislature is going to override a veto of Governor Nixon's on a tax cut, and it would lower the state's top personal income tax rate to 5.5% from 6%, and the corporate tax rate by 3 points to 3.25%. And, you know, I think we all know that when people have their own money in their pockets, whether it's an individual or whether it's a business, that business is going to go right back into the state economy. And apparently, I don't know if Governor Nixon took any economics classes or, you know, did he go out drinking that day for liquid lunch in college? I don't know. But it really seems like a no-brainer to me. And so there was that. And, of course, Governor Nixon is making the old, you know, classic liberal case about, oh, well, if we cut all these taxes, then we're going to have to cut $800 million in other services. And whenever you say we're going to have to cut all of these services that are state services or federal services in the state government, of course, liberals go, oh, my God, and it's the end of the world, and meteors are going to hit the earth, and we're all going to die. But, you know, that's a classic liberal argument. So when they do that, you just have to kind of go, yeah, okay. So there was that. Also, a little bit of housekeeping here before we go. Please keep in your thoughts and prayers and yourselves. Pastor Saeed, he is an American citizen. He was born in Iran, and he and his wife live here now. They are an American citizen, and he is a Muslim convert to Christianity. He is a pastor. He has been in Iran's Evin prison now for a year, and he had his conviction, it has not been overturned, and right now, the way it looks, he's looking at an 8-year prison sentence in a very notoriously bad prison. He's having a lot of health problems due to beatings and other lovely things that the Iranians like to do to their prisoners. And so we've got Jay Sekulow and the ACLJ on the case for this. And if there's anything new on it, we will certainly let you know. But please keep having your thoughts and your prayers. And let's hope that we can get him home soon to his wife and his children as soon as we possibly can, because he doesn't need to be in that prison. And also, as we celebrate our Labor Day holiday this weekend, let's remember why we're celebrating Labor Day. We're celebrating the American worker. And that's all of us. That's you and me and all of us. And let's try to remember, we all know how hard we work ourselves. Let's remember how hard our fellow Americans work and our fellow citizens work to make this a great country. So I will leave you with that. Thanks for listening tonight, everyone. Thanks for listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. Please go to where it started all of it all started. Easy for me to say. ConservativeCauldron.blogspot.com. And you can find me on Facebook.com/Becky Noble. I am on Twitter at Patriot Witch. And please go to examiner.com and read all of my writings there. So with that, everyone have a awesome and very fun and very safe Labor Day weekend. And next time I'm sure we will talk about the goings on in Syria and lots of other things. So thanks for listening tonight. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. See you next time.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.